Hopefully someone won't be getting shot out of a cannon while we're trying to open the doors, not allowing people to cross the road.
That was weird.
That was weird.
Which is a thing that actually happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Bad Voltage and welcome to 2020. How are you guys doing?
Ooh. I am already sick of the 2020 vision joke and we are 7 days in.
So... I actually haven't heard that joke. I'm quite impressed.
What?
Where have you been under a rock all seven days,
evidently.
I tell you where I've been. I've been around people who aren't shit at comedy. That's where I've been, okay.
Well, not in California then, presumably. So
everyone's got a great sense of humour out here. Lots of wisdom. Welcome everyone to a brand new year. Welcome to Bad Voltage. We capped off last year with our 2019 predictions. I just need to remind you all again that I won. Particularly need to remind my fellow compadres Stuart Ian Langridge and Jeremy Beyonce Garcia.
Closing out a weird decade.
I mean, it was amazing. You can call me Nostradamus if you want, but it wouldn't be Bad Voltage. You don't have to do that. It wouldn't be Bad Voltage if we didn't now get into predictions for this brand new decade. Well, not the decade, but this brand new year. Can you imagine if we did decade-long predictions?
I see. I'm now thinking you've just blown out my brilliant plan, which is when I get zero at the end of the year. I thought we were doing decade-long predictions.
I suspect a decade-long prediction will be people will still continue not to care about Facebook Spaces. All right, so why don't we first of all get clear on the rules? Because one thing that we noted in the last episode was that we always bicker over sales data, and I suggested that we don't have any predictions that relate to sales data. Are we cool with that?
Well, you did suggest this, and then in the interim, I went away for Christmas and came back, and that appears to have become a rule. So we're not allowed to do that now, it turns out.
Well, you just... I mean, otherwise we get Jeremy, primarily.
It's bickering about everything. With sales numbers. I think for 1 year, doing no sales is a good change-up and a fair rule that I will agree to. Whether Stuart does is his... That's
yeah,
his
no,
journey,
no, 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 I'm cool in. With it.
Well, this is a democracy of sorts. All right, so we will have... Oh, sorry, a cabinet reshuffle. We will not have any sales data for our predictions. So why don't we get started? Oh, the other thing, while we're defining the rules of play, okay, we're going to have the same number of predictions because you idiots gave me a lot of grief by the fact that I took on more risk in the last show with these predictions, yeah. Risk to my fantastic reputation.
Yes, let's all have the same number, which means but we are going to have some.
We will have some bonus ones, but there'll be no points assigned to them. They'll just be for fun, right?
Okay.
Okay.
Rules help control the fun. Okay.
You know what they say, there's nothing like controlled fun.
Right. Who's humiliating themselves? I mean, predicting first.
You go first, Langridge.
Okay. Right, so the first one, I was quite amused by this because I put together my list of predictions and I suspect that I'm quite pleased that I'm going first because I'm going to get in with this one, which is probably on all of your lists as well. But
okay.
Slack are going to be purchased, or they may have announce a sale, but it hasn't actually completed by the end of 2020. But someone's going to buy Slack. I reckon it will be Microsoft, WebEx, who is actually Cisco, or maybe Zoom. I mean, I really what I wanted to do was say I think it's going to be Zoom, but I was too chicken for that because I don't think they can afford it. So
So you think Cisco's going to ruin Slack as well?
I am prepared to believe this, and I'll tell you why. It was my bonus prediction. Although I had it in a different order in some different companies. I had Sales First as by far and away number one, with Google and Amazon as runners-up. I think it definitely will not be Microsoft. They put too much money into Teams to acquire
into
Slack.
Into Teams, yeah.
I think that they've got the you think that people are going to buy it as a rival to Teams. I think they're going to buy it in order to essentially consolidate their hold on that market, and then Slack may end up just becoming like a Teams theme or something, or they'll try and marry the two back ends or something.
But Teams is more successful than Slack.
Yeah, it's un-Microsofty in their kind of acquisition history, and I think no.
Okay,
don't think they. Yeah.
Well. Okay. Well, there you go. It's not your
when Salesforce acquires them, I'll take half your points.
Now, forgive my cynicism here, because I'm aware of how this is going to go down just before the holidays next year or later this year, right? But when you say a purchase is announced, right? This can't be Cryogenics Consulting announces the purchase of Slack.
That's fair. I'm assuming what I don't want to do is say the purchase has happened and then tomorrow Salesforce or Cisco or whatever say, we're buying Slack, and then you two go, oh, but it hasn't actually fully completed as of...
So you're saying it doesn't have to close in 2020, but the
correct
purchase
so
agreement...
Correct.
Kind of,
but if it's definitely happening, right? Not someone going, right, maybe
but if
we'll
there has to be
it.
Some regulators approving it, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. They've done their due diligence.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
it's got to be a real thing.
Okay. It's got to be like just like GitHub, Microsoft announcing the acquisition of GitHub had happened months before the actual acquisition.
Yeah. That seems like a yes/no verifiable outcome.
I don't think this is going to happen, by the way.
You don't?
Oh.
No.
You think Slack's going to stay
independent? Any insight into why or?
Yes. I think there's so much ego at Slack that's going to stop that from happening. I think they're going to have a figure that's so high that it's going to be at least another year before an acquisition occurs.
Oh, so you think that the acquisition is still going to happen?
The Docker thing is going to happen.
But they're going to spend a year turning away really good offers until eventually they take about a third of what they wanted and less than they
could
have
got.
They're
going to do what Docker did.
Yeah.
Is what I... Because I think Slack are going to see themselves as this massive collaboration platform of which the chat thing is one.
And they aren't at all.
No.
You think I did... To be honest with you... That's quite a plausible story, but I'm sticking with the prediction.
That's fine.
I mean,
we will find out.
Stewart has a history of selling because he sold Flickr, so it's not outside the realm of possibility that he would agree. And the stock's way down. I think it's plausible.
I totally buy your ego point, but I think if they want to sell at the top, this would be the year to do it.
Why this year?
Because next year people are going to stop caring. And you know it. Bloom's already going off the rose. Like you say, Teams is more popular.
Well, I don't think so much the Bloom is going off the rose. It's just not exciting anymore.
This is my point.
It's become Jira.
Rephrase slightly. If they wanted to sell at the top, they probably should have done it in 2019. But that ship has sailed. So.
They went public.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, let's move on.
Okay. So
What's next? The next one,
and this one is a little bit difficult to define, so I'm happy to hear about your definitions. And I have a sort of a discussion thing about this, which would probably be a segment in another show, but maybe we'll come back to it. But the CCPA, the California Privacy Law, is now law as of 7 days ago, right?
All right. Outline to readers what that is. Readers, listeners.
It's sort of a low-budget California-only version of GDPR.
GDPR, right.
Yeah, it's not quite as good as GDPR, but it's still a massive step forward for US privacy law.
Define good. Anyway, carry on.
I think that is probably a separate segment. I think by the end of this year, there will have been no convictions under it at all.
Did it just go into law?
Yes.
So you think that basically it would not...
I think that basically we're not going to see anyone prosecuted under it. Now, there are two points here where I'm short of vocab to define it. The first one is you could reasonably make the case that any kind of serious prosecution under this law is probably going to take 4 years or something. At which point, yeah, there won't be any by the end of 2020. And that's a possibility, but I don't know what I could do about that.
And so, I mean, it just went into effect and they said they're not going to enforce it initially. They've been pretty clear about that.
Well, that's the second point.
I also see that you updated your notes with, before you had GDPR has not had any fines, and they've had a hilariously large number of very large fines.
Not really. I went away and looked it up because I thought, have there been some? There have been some, and they're hilariously large if you run a sweet shop. They're not hilariously large if you're Google.
Right? But I mean, in aggregate, it's like a half, what was it, $500 million?
A whoop, though.
It's
a lot of money if you want to spend it on lager.
If you find Google €1 million, obviously they spend more on paper plates in a year than that.
Yeah, exactly. This is my thought.
I would say $500 million is a pretty big fine, even for a big company.
And to be clear, that wasn't one company, that was an aggregate.
Prediction. But yeah, the other question is, there's a reasonable case made, and this is the segment, perhaps, that you put this kind of law in place not because you intend to actually give people a kicking in it, but in order to change everyone's behaviour so they don't get a kicking, so you never really have any intention of prosecuting anybody under it. I think...
It's not typically how the law works.
It is not typically how the law works. But I can see people arguing that GDPR has had that effect. Yes, there have been prosecutions under it, but we've seen a fair amount of behavioural change for people who are scared of being prosecuted. And I can completely imagine a whole bunch of EU lawyers and policymakers going, yeah, we never really intended to actually take anyone to court, because what we've done is we've moved the needle a long way, and that was our intention in the first place. But obviously you can't admit that kind of thing publicly. But I think there won't be any convictions under the CCPA by the end of the year. Whether that means that it's a toothless law or it's all intended or whatever is something we can argue about in December.
So given that the Attorney General is on record as saying they will not even try to enforce for the first 6 months, I'm not convinced they can enforce with resolution in the following 6 months. So this seems like a pretty safe bet, unless there is one egregious act that they want to make a kind of an example of a specific company, in which case they might force it through quickly.
I massively would hope they would do that, but I've been hoping for the GDPR people to do that, and they haven't really done that either.
Do you know what the first, at least I believe the first GDPR enforcement was?
The first one? No.
If I'm to believe the article I read yesterday, it is a very small shop in Austria whose CCTV camera went too far into public space.
Okay. Not really what the law was built for.
€4,000 was the fine. Like I said, if I believe the article. I didn't research it further. I was out of time.
So I don't know anything about this. So did you say that when they announced this CCPA, they said that they will not... That the plan is to not convict anyone for the first 6 months.
So the Attorney General said that the law goes into effect on January 1st, 2020, so obviously already in effect, but that for 6 months they would delay enforcement and work on remedying.
Helping
companies to remedy whatever they were out of compliance.
That's fair enough.
Right. So there's like a six-month period.
And when did it go into law?
On the 1st.
Okay. Yeah, this is so lowballing it. It's almost hilarious.
If there's one egregious act, I could see them trying to force through one.
I am happy to hear a way that I could phrase a prediction, which is they've brought this law in, but it's not going to change anything because everyone's going to ignore it in a more firm way than I have done. That's basically what I think. I just can't think of a way of putting it in the form of a testable prediction.
We'll stick with it. We'll just give you more grief later in the year. That's completely fine with me. Now, when you say convictions, you mean any and all convictions?
See, I'm imagining you use any fine as a...
Yeah. Any fine?
Yeah.
Whatsoever. It could be for $10.
I'll go for that. I would be pretty disappointed if they bring in this thing and then go, oh, we're going to stamp out privacy problems in the state of California, and what they prosecute is some shop whose CCTV camera goes slightly far onto the path while blithely walking past everyone on the 101. But, you know, maybe that's what's going to happen.
I suspect what will happen here is there'll be many convictions in process in that 6 months, well, but it'll take them 6 months to make the conviction happen.
That,
so.
Yeah, I mean, that was a kind of, that's what I said, that's the other limiting factor to this prediction, that maybe you could make the case that you couldn't do this sort of thing in a year and it takes 4 years to get a conviction, at which point, yeah, but we're not doing decade-long predictions.
No. Okay, sounds good. All right, so what's your third one?
So the third one is kind of like this, and it's a bit of a moonshot. The EU are talking about a whole bunch of new e-privacy regulations, right, on top of the GDPR and everything. And I think what's going to happen is they'll get a bunch of that stuff through, and as a result, all the cookie warnings go away. I think by the end of the year, you'll stop seeing a cookie warning on basically every website.
So for those of you in the US...
It's testable.
Who have no idea what you're talking about. When you are in the EU, every single site you visit has a giant interstitial cookie warning. Because this is going to be, excuse the pun, foreign to many people. If you've not been to the EU, you legitimately have no idea what this is, I think.
Oh, I thought sites just put it on for everybody. So it's only for
doesn't
EU
happen
people.
Anywhere else.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah. That's how you know you're in Europe.
Okay.
Basically, okay. Yes.
I didn't appreciate that. So yes, for those of you who don't know, every website you look at has a big "you have to click it away" warning saying, "We collect cookies, do you want to accept this?" And then some degree, what the GDPR says is you can't do this at all. You have to get people to opt in. What every site has done is some degree of making people opt out, right? And the warnings go from a thing saying, "We collect cookies with the following personal information, accept it or reject it." Sometimes the reject it button is smaller. Sometimes the reject it button is not on that page at all, but is on a different page. Sometimes the reject it button is a stack of 200 tick boxes, all of which you have to individually untick. Right? It's the worst.
It is terrible. And it's also the European, by the way, it's the European equivalent of those signs in California where when you walk into a Starbucks and it says, "The broom that we use to sweep the floor may cause what cancer in the state of California."
Absolutely.
It's basically that on the internet in Europe.
It totally is that. I hadn't thought of that analogy, but since it annoys the piss out of me when I'm walking around California and it's all, this bush may contain substances known to be carcinogenic. It's exactly the same. My God, I'd never thought of that. Yes. So I think, because I'm pretty confident that the people who brought in the GDPR did not intend to have this as an effect, and they're aware that it's all terrible, and so they're actually actively trying to fix it. The reason this is a bit of a moonshot is because government doesn't move very fast. So the idea this is going to be done by the end of 2020 rather than the end of 2120 is a bit of rich, but you know.
Yeah, I can foresee us arguing over 1/10 of a point when this is announced that it's going to happen. Okay. Now, these are all very trackable, by the way. These are all very trackable predictions. Sales data.
I'm doing my best to come up with things where we don't have to argue about whether they happened at the end of the year.
Yes.
Very good.
Which is the idea.
And do you have any bonuses?
Well, I've got two bonuses, both of which are a bit dodgy. One of them is I think the Epic Stores are going to come out on Linux.
The show notes, by the way, it says LOL next to that prediction. Did you write that or
yes,
did Jeremy?
No, I wrote
that. No, I did not write that.
Oh, so you have no confidence in your own bonus. I'm guessing this is why it's a bonus prediction.
The reason this is a bonus prediction is because I feel it's less something I think will happen and more something I'd just like to happen, you know. So obviously my second bonus prediction is that I strike oil in the back garden or something. Right? No. The second one is about a thing I read, and I can't for the life of me find where I read it. So if someone could point me at this, you might find that they framed it as a prediction and I've stolen it, in which case I apologise. But it was kind of two different things. The first one was you saw there's been quite a lot of pushback about firework displays. Right? And, well, all over, well, in the news, but all over.
No,
place.
I'm not talking about where you read it. I'm talking about where in the world is there pushback about fireworks display.
So London, for example, there's a big fireworks display for New Year, and there were huge clouds of smoke and loads of people complained about it. They've already been... the Scottish government are talking about banning
fireworks. I imagine
fireworks.
Australia not keen on fireworks.
Oh, well, yeah, on the other hand, if you saw Catherine Wheel, I'm not sure anyone would know at the moment.
Right, right.
But there's been... I mean, and even if there's not pushback, I think a lot of people are kind of, oh, fireworks. They're no longer, wow, what a fantastic spectacle. It's kind of, okay, why did you do that? Maybe just don't bother.
I think you're massively generalizing.
I may be. Yeah, absolutely. And then the second thing I saw was someone talking about how you could do aerial drone displays. So you get lights on, you get drones with loads of lights on them.
And the Intel ones are amazing.
Yeah, and have them sort of dance around one another. And that feels like a replacement for firework displays, which doesn't create a huge, great, big cloud of smoke and possibly kill half a dozen people a year who hold a Roman candle in their hand or whatever.
So let me get
but
this.
Didn't they
let me
do
get
this
right.
In Shanghai not that long ago?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, possibly it's already happened. I've sort of plugged
your
two
trend
things
of
together
predicting
in my
things
head.
That have already happened has happened here. I'm almost positive that this New Year's
what is
in
the
Shanghai,
prediction? Are you,
they replaced right. their firework display with drones. I'm almost positive
what
I
is,
saw that in the news.
But what is the prediction?
So the,
I mean, are you
so
basically
the,
saying
the,
that...
The prediction is kind of, I think... We'll kind of see that happen a bunch more. I think a bunch of localities are going to ban fireworks and people will turn to using drone-like displays as a replacement.
I think, by the way, when you look up, you know the term smart, like a smart objective, right? Where it's got all these different elements of making it measurable and focused and concise.
Specific, measurable, AR targeted.
Right, yeah. I'm not sure if... This will happen a whole bunch, is in the smart definition.
Well, I mean, I could say firework sales figures will go down a lot, but I'm not allowed. I don't know how else you measure this.
But well, how are we going to measure your bonus prediction?
I don't really know, which is why it's
let's go
bonus.
With the let's go with the first one. Because the second one definitely did happen. I just looked it up.
Oh,
it didn't
okay.
happen. I mean, there was one fireworks display used drones. That's not his prediction.
No,
he's
no,
saying
the
it's
prediction
happen
is,
a whole bunch.
I think it's going to happen. I think people are going to start doing this as a sort of a routine thing. I think places are going to ban fireworks and people are going to turn to drones to do it. The fact that someone's done it once just proves that the technology exists.
Yeah, you see, you and Jeremy, you two are opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of inaccuracy around predictions. Jeremy's like... You know, I walked into a Galaxy Fold store in Japan and some dude was using it. Therefore, this is right.
They were everywhere. They were sold out. All right. I'm telling you.
We have a very fluctuating degree of rigor on these things.
Okay.
But overall, I think pretty measurable.
Yeah.
Bonus aside.
So that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen in 2020. We may as well just stop the show now because we've predicted it.
Boom.
All right, who's next?
Right, Mr. Bacon, I think. Go, Jono, what do you think's going to happen?
All right, prediction number one is that this year, Mark Benioff is going to step down as CEO of Salesforce. I think he will continue to stay on the board, but he will no longer be CEO of Salesforce by the end of the year.
Do you subscribe to The Information?
The what?
The website, The Information. It's like a Silicon Valley news site.
Oh, it's a website.
No,
I thought you were like plugged into some secret Illuminati thing.
Yeah, it's like the Matrix.
Because they just posted an article why Salesforce's Mark Benioff will step down as co-CEO in 2020. It was just curious.
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
I agree he's made quite a bit of money and has been, in a way, grooming people to replace him. The way he talks about corporate philanthropy, though, I don't think he has it in him to step down yet. I think he wants to, because he's taken a little bit of heat lately for Salesforce as an organization heading in different directions than him personally, I think he will want to remedy some of those before he steps down.
Well, here's a question I have for you, because you know more about this than me. I've seen a bunch of stuff sort of implying that he wants to do a lot more philanthropy. Essentially, you think he's stepping down in order to do that, or is that mostly PR, or is he doing it for real, or what?
I I the reason why I'm making this prediction is I do think he wants to step into the philanthropy world more. And I think that he's been at sales. I mean, Salesforce has been around for a long time, and I think he's probably about ready to do something different. I just think that it just seems time that he's going to want to do that. Now, he may not. I mean, I know a few people who've worked with him in the past, and they say that he's a pretty formidable character who controls that company with a very tight fist. And so we'll see. It very may well not happen, but, you know, there's no sales data.
Okay, and it's testable.
I actually have
testable
more
prediction. I'm assuming the point if he's announced he's leaving, but he's not actually going to leave until February the 11th, 2021 or something.
Yeah. I mean, if he announces, that's part of the prediction.
That's as good as
the
done.
I actually have a couple of other CEO departure predictions, but they're reserved for bonuses.
Okay.
All right. So number two. So I believe that Microsoft, Amazon, and Google will all offer quantum computing services as part of their cloud. Now, they've already got, I think Amazon and Microsoft have already got like a very limited preview. And I'm saying that these will be fully available, right? They may be in some kind of like late beta, but they won't be defined as a preview. They'll be available, so people will be able to have access to quantum computing as part of their general cloud usage and the all three platforms.
Wow, this Garcia's skeptical face has turned up to 11.
This has basically been
here.
Announced, though.
It hasn't been announced.
I mean, what would you
Microsoft?
So
Microsoft
Amazon bracket is them.
Yeah, in preview. In
from
preview.
Three different companies. So, I right. mean, something that in is offered preview. By all three companies in preview will go into beta the next year? Sure.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to go into beta or final. But right now, like, I mean, this is a remarkably expensive, complicated technology. And like, my initial I think quantum is going to be a more and more of a thing. I was initially thinking about whether we're going to start seeing people buying quantum computers. A, we don't have sales data, but B, I think people are going to primarily consume that via the cloud. So that's why I'm saying
at least partially because the only three organizations on Earth who can afford it are in your prediction. Real people are going to go and buy a quantum computer. They cost $1 billion.
No, they don't. There's already people who have bought quantum computers.
I mean, the new stuff by IonQ and D-Wave and stuff, they're not as expensive as they were.
Right.
What are they doing?
They're tailored down. They're not...
Yeah, they're not proper.
They're not the quantum computing of your vision of what quantum computing is.
Right,
I would say.
No, and that's why I think it's going to be exposed. So, but that's why, like, I think that these are going to be, they're going to be either in beta or final. I suspect this is not part of the prediction. I suspect one of them will be in final, and the other two will be in beta. But I think that we're going to start seeing consumable quantum computing being used. By companies.
To me, it feels like something that happened before I was born, but you talk to old greybeards and they'll tell you about writing programs on bits of paper and then you'd send them off to the computer lab somewhere who would then type this program in and run it and then send you back the results. And then you spend ages analysing it to be really careful to get it right because you only got to do one thing a week or something. And the release of quantum computing to real people feels kind of like that to me.
I don't think it'll be like that. I mean, there's already open source projects where people are integrating quantum into their workflow.
What are they using it for?
I'm just super high compute, right?
Well, but it isn't super high compute. You have to rewrite everything so it works in a quantum way.
Oh, for sure. Well, in terms of what they're using it for, though, I think they're just using it for very, very CPU-intensive
operations. I mean, I don't know enough about it. I looked into it a bit and went, okay, I just don't get this.
You know the last time I looked into quantum in any level of detail? In fact, it was with you, Mr. Stuart Langridge. It was when we were at the Wolves Lug in the Moon Underwater in Wolverhampton in 2000, and I said, can someone explain to me what this quantum computing is all about? And then I was schooled for an hour and a half by you and Ron. And that's it. And ever since then, I basically decided I will never understand this. But I do think that this is going to be a major, major piece of infrastructure moving forward. And 2020 is when it's going to begin.
No, okay.
Bits versus earnest. Qubits 2020.
Yeah, so this is testable. Okay. Go.
Yep.
Next one.
Three. This might seem like a little bit of an outlier, and this is, I think, a bit of a ballsy prediction. I think this year Amazon's going to release a color version of the Kindle.
It's called the Fire?
Now, I'm talking about proper e-ink. I'm not talking about a tablet that's called a Kindle.
Right, and are you talking about proper color? Because you can already buy e-ink, which also does red, right? I'm assuming that doesn't count. We want, I don't know, I mean, it probably doesn't necessarily have to be true color, but you've been able to buy e-ink that does black and red and white for years.
No, I'm
and
talking
now
about...
you get like four colors and things, but you want something where I can about, look at a photograph and it looks like the thing.
It looks like a photo. Now, it might look a bit grainy and it might have fewer, might not be 16.9 million colors.
No, but, right. but we're thinking something semi-realistic rather than it being, you know, a Commodore 64.
Yeah.
Right, it's not going to look like a spectrum where you only had 16 colors and everyone's faces are magenta.
Now, e-ink, there's already companies out there who are making e-ink signs, right? And a lot of signage companies.
I'm just hearing from the e-ink people's lawyers. There are companies out there making e-paper signs. The only company out there making e-ink signs are e-ink.
Okay. you can find out more about it at
There's one Kindle-like device that is color and e-ink, but I think it's like Asia only or something.
Really?
I found one device too.
The Goodreader?
Now, it's going to be, obviously, it's going to be interesting for Amazon because I don't know whether, when they convert books into Kindle books, right?
Yeah.
I don't know whether they're storing color imagery. Like they've got the enhanced typesetting on Kindle books now.
I'm pretty sure that they're storing the imagery as color because people have got Kindle Fires, which are perfectly capable of displaying color imagery.
Oh, of course they must do. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, they don't smash it all down to black and white because then someone who goes and buys the tablet goes, "Why is all my shit black and white?" That's rubbish.
Right. Yeah. So I think that I think that they're gonna. First of all, from what I understand, their Kindle business is doing super well. They're making a lot of money from it. They're great devices. And I think the market would like one. I think they're going to struggle to sell, frankly, to add more and more value to the existing Kindle line because, frankly, Paperwhite does everything that most people want. I got an Oasis for Christmas. It's not that much different to the Paperwhite.
They must have hit saturation on this, right? Everyone who wants a Kindle must by now have one. And why the hell would you upgrade? I mean, I haven't even got a Paperwhite. I've got a Kindle 4 and it's fine.
It's fine.
Why would I buy a newer one? Yeah, okay, so it's got, you know, the screen's a bit grayer than the white. But does that annoy me enough to spend £100 on it when I only use it on planes?
Right.
No.
And with the Oasis, you know, it's got like, you know, it's waterproof and you can listen to Audible books in it. And I get that. But most people, I think, are using it for what you're using it for.
Yeah.
So that's why I think this will be a really neat market thing. And I think that from what I can tell, the e-paper is at a point now where it could be put into a Kindle.
Yep.
Just to keep your lawyers happy.
just checking. Honestly, if they came out with a feature where they didn't leave the damn thing on a plane, which I've now done four times, I'd be a lot better. Every time I've got it back, and one time it took a month and a half to get back to me, but I've always got it back, so they're always super helpful. But
you know what? When I see you next... A Bad Voltage Live in LA.
Yes.
Which we'll get to another time.
Stealthy you can have my paper there.
I know.
That was stealth.
You can have my Paperwhite ack. You can have it. So it's yours. Yeah. Continuing the long line of me giving you computers.
Now you can leave a nicer Kindle on the plane.
Now I can leave a nicer Kindle on the plane. Have a spare one. I like this.
Unlike the last computer that I gave you, this one works without being plugged in all the time.
I've got a new laptop now. It's lovely. This is an interesting prediction because I think the thing which stands in the way of it is I'm not sure they can pull off the technology for it at the price point that the Kindle makes sense. If they go, here's a colour Kindle, it's great, but it's £600. No one will buy it. They are not Apple, right? People want to spend $90 on a Kindle, not $690.
I think you're right, and that's why I think it's a bit of a ballsy prediction because they got to get the technology right, they got to get the price point right.
I'll be honest with you, I am pretty skeptical this is doable.
So I think it would definitely be a buzzer beater because if they do it, it's going to be for the holiday season of 2020. So it's going to be in the last month or close to maybe November release or something.
No one comes out with this radical piece of technology and goes, when should we release it? I don't know, June or something. That's not how, unless you want to capture actual holidayers. People going on a holiday.
Somewhere for summer, whatever.
Well, and the other thing is they may end up releasing this around when the most amount of books get sold. Like maybe more books and titles come out.
I don't know when that is.
In summer. I don't know when it is.
You get
I look at this one 50-50, so it's a reasonable. That's reasonable.
Yeah, good shout.
Certainly now, testable.
I have a few bonuses.
Okay.
All right. Again, just to remind the audience, and more specifically, you two knuckleheads, okay? No points added or removed here, okay? All right, one, Canonical will get acquired. This is like the sixth time we've tried this.
Fifth great year of predicting this.
I actually think Canonical, I think there's a reasonable likelihood they're going to get acquired.
I mean, I agree with you, but I agree with you last time you predicted it and the time before that. It didn't happen any of those times.
And I know I spent nearly 8 years working at Canonical, and I know how devoted Mark is to the company and how devoted the team is to the company. But I don't know what's next for Canonical. I don't know where they're going. I mean, they're spreading out into so many different areas. So... it makes sense to me that they would be a likely acquisition target. The question I think is going to be, is Mark going to accept the amount of money that whatever that company is offering?
They may IPO instead. I mean, that's the current plan, as I understand
it. That's been stated, and we've seen none of that yet. So when did they announce that IPO?
Two or three years ago.
So I think an acquisition is more likely.
Yeah.
So do you think all of Canonical gets acquired? And if so, does Mark become an employee somewhere for a year, 18 months or whatever? Or do you think a portion gets acquired or acquired and is out immediately?
My guess here will be that they will get acquired and he will quit.
I think there is zero, possibly less than zero chance that Mark works for someone else. That's not what happens. At no point does that happen.
No.
I suspect someone who buys Canonical would probably want to buy them for the cloud business. Whether they are obliged to buy all of Canonical, even if all they want is the cloud business, or whether they can just buy the cloud business and then someone else buys the desktop business, or it goes on by itself, or there's some kind of, you know, sort of internal management e-buyout thing, which I don't know.
I think what would happen is that Canonical will get acquired as one whole entity, primarily for the cloud business. And then I think what would happen is the Ubuntu Foundation would spin up that would work on all of the desktop, Snappy and other pieces. And then Mark would be the executive director of the Ubuntu Foundation and would continue to do that for many years. And I think it would operate not like the Linux Foundation. It would operate more like Apache in some ways, right? Like a open, volunteer driven kind of thing.
I could picture that. I mean, Canonical is still devoting tons of resources to the desktop. So,
right. And I think Mark's heart is in the desktop as well as the cloud. The cloud will make sense from a revenue perspective. The desktop will be something that I think he wants to continue to support.
Interesting.
I think he'd enjoy that. And then I think he'd go on and do something else. Like he might do real estate or something else. Well, I don't know what it would be.
He's already doing all the Shuttleworth Foundation thing. He's doing like a million other things already.
Right.
So like he has to think these things up. He's already doing them. We just don't hear about them that much because different field.
Right.
But yeah, okay.
Bonus prediction number two, PlayStation 5 will launch. We know that's going to happen in probably in November, but I think that when it comes out, given the fact that we don't have any sales data, I think the press reviews of this are going to be overwhelmingly positive. And this might seem like a lowball one, but there is a huge amount of competition going on right now between Microsoft and Sony with these new consoles.
Here is an interesting question for you. I like the fact that you said overwhelmingly positive, because what my complaint was going to be is, when was the last console that came out that got bad reviews?
Ooh.
Which, don't, it, I mean, don't it remember doesn't.
The Wii?
The Wii didn't get bad reviews when it came out. Maybe the Wii U was the only one I could really come up with.
Oh, sorry, Wii U. Yeah, Wii U.
But the Wii blew everyone away. Everyone was nuts about it. But unfortunately, the games industry think that a rating of 84 is bad. Right?
Right. Yeah.
But you think people are going to be saying this is materially better than previous consoles were on their release day?
The PlayStation 4 has been one of Sony's most successful PlayStations that they've released. From sales, from critic reviews and consumer satisfaction, all of those different pieces. I think the PlayStation 5 is going to eclipse that.
Okay, we can have a massive punch up about whether it happened, but it should be relatively apparent. I think. When do you think it's going to come out? What concerns me a little bit is there may not be enough time for there to be that many press reviews in between it coming out and us deciding whether they got it or not.
I think all the lead up to the launch, the press are going to have access to it beforehand. Everything that we see in 2020 will be overwhelmingly positive. And I think there'll be a decent amount of content. I mean, there's already a lot of speculation about it, but when they get their hands on it.
I'd be interested in the ones that happen afterwards, because people beforehand tend not to write a review which said, Sony gave us exclusive pre-release access to this thing, and it was bobbins, because then they never get to write another one of those articles ever again.
So after its
release, when people aren't invested in telling lies about it in order to maintain access.
Right. I think it's going to come out in November, specifically November the 14th.
That is a hyper-specific date.
What? Yeah. What? Why do you think this? You look well confident about that number.
I don't need to give you my reasoning. I just think it's going to be the 14th of November.
I tell you what, if that happens, I should be pretty damn impressed.
All right. Third one. This is lowball. People continue not to care about Facebook Spaces.
Shut up. I am sorely tempted to make Facebook start it up again just so you get this wrong. We should go and register a site called spacebookfaces.biz.
All right. My final bonus one. Jack Dorsey is going to step down as CEO of Twitter.
Ooh.
Now, the reason for this is we already know he's moving to Africa.
Yeah.
We already know he said that.
And I think he's going to go over there, and I think he's going to see helping to be a catalyst for startups and innovation and investment and all that kind of stuff across Africa as his new thing. And I think...
You think it's real?
I would imagine. I think he's probably sick of being in this firestorm of what's going on with Twitter.
I could certainly imagine that he'd want to step down. Yeah. You think he's actually going to move? This is not Obama gets elected and I move to Canada thing.
No.
Well, okay.
No, I think he's definitely going
to
move.
Do you think he wants to see out this decentralized version of Twitter before he does so?
That's the risk, I think. But I think that he will...
That's so annoying.
He will continue to be on the board, as they always do. And I think he may play an advisory role to Twitter, but his role at Twitter will not be CEO. In fact, I think he will go so far as to say, for us to really build this decentralized future for Twitter, we need fresh blood in the CEO position to do so. I think that will be his calling card to get out.
So not promotion from within either?
It may be. I don't know where the CEO will come from.
Okay.
But I don't think it will be
that's
him.
That's predictable. And again, if he's announced that he's going to do it, but it hasn't actually happened, assume he doesn't say, I'm going to do it at some point in the next 10 years or something stupid. If he hasn't actually signed out by December the 31st, he's still allowed.
Yeah. And I actually had one which is not written down here, but I'm not confident about this. I don't know whether or not I'll commit to this. I do think that Zuckerberg's going to step down this year.
I put it in the list and then I crossed it out.
I don't think so.
All right. So anyway, that's me done.
Okay. Jezza.
Jeremy.
All right. So on that Canonical, that's a nice segue. Just a few short years after Canonical pulled out and pulled the cord on convergence, a phone, of that nature is released by a major manufacturer, so one that all of us have heard of. So they will release a phone that you can just plug in and it will become a desktop keyboard.
There's already this. LG have got one.
Not only that, but Samsung have just killed the Dexy project, which was this.
Right. So it has been for 5 years. They killed that, but I think it will. I think someone will release one. I didn't know LG did.
Yeah, haven't LG got one? They've got.
I don't think so.
Yeah, they've got like a dock and a whole. Hang on.
That was, well, Motorola did the, I want to call it the Atraxi, but they were the bad guys in the 11th hour. Something like that. Samsung had the Dexy project for years, and they killed it like 2 months ago.
Yep, they did. Or I still think it's happening. I don't know who, maybe one. Maybe
some, one but someone's going to do basically what Dexy was. Yeah, it's not Samsung then.
It's not Samsung, clearly.
Okay. I don't know how many more people could afford to dive down the,
this is the most,
initially
this
promising
the most of a hanger,
hole of convergence. It looks superficially seductive and no one can get it to actually be interesting to consumers. But
right. So I think someone will make a run at it again. I don't know why I think this, to be perfectly clear.
I feel like the convergence worm may have eaten into your brain like he's eaten into so many other people's.
Potentially, yes.
Okay.
I swear I've seen this already happen.
I didn't know there was an LG one. I know about the Samsung stuff, obviously.
I thought it was LG.
And the original one was Motorola. I can't think what it was called. Was it the Atrax?
I forget the name of the Motorola one.
Yeah, but that was like the original one. Because that was what they originally prototyped the Ubuntu stuff on, if I remember rightly. I remember being at CES in like 2012.
It was a while ago.
Some of them on the thing. Okay.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
If you find that one, let me know and I'll come up with something.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not finding anything initially,
I don't think so.
Which is good for you.
Okay. Disney acquires EA or Microsoft acquires Activision?
There is no way Disney are going to acquire EA.
Why not? Do you mean that there's no way Disney are going to want to, or do you mean that there's no way EA are going to let it happen?
I don't think EA are going to let that happen. I don't know. EA.
I mean, both would be massive acquisitions. To be clear,
that would be that'd be huge.
I grant your ego point, but Disney pretty healthy ego over there, so I feel like they could outweigh EA ego and money.
Or maybe it's Microsoft. I think you see Disney on the digital side expanding their footprint and wanting more content and more things to do.
That's a good point.
Things like Disney Plus, video games, clearly very popular. It would be a completely new segment. Instead of their titles for games, they could just be the studio that creates the games.
Do you think that Disney Plus is going to launch a streaming gaming service?
Not in 2020, but if they acquire EA 2022, sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I assume that Disney are watching with interest to see if Stadia dies as much on its arse as it looks like it's going to. And if it doesn't, they'll be second to the table, absolutely.
Did you see, by the way, that the Linux scheduler is the source of all of Stadia's problems?
I did not see this, is it?
Linus came out and basically said, look, the reason why Stadia sucks is not because of the Linux scheduler. There's some performance issues that are going on.
Oh, so. Wow, blimey.
I called the article garbage, which is on brand.
That does sound right. I mean, John, are you saying why would Disney want to buy EA? As far as I can tell, Disney's new policy is anyone who sells anything to anyone for any reason, we should buy them and then we get to keep that money. So
I get why they bought Star Wars, because they could tie all of that into their theme parks, into their TV shows, and now Disney Plus and all the rest of it. What I don't know with EA is where... If they were going to bring out a games console, if they were going to bring out a gaming service, I get that, but...
Why? I mean, gaming's a bigger market than films is. Makes more money. Why would Disney not want to be in it?
And think of all the Disney content that EA could... Mm. I mean, EA's already turning some of their content into games. The Star Wars, the Jedi Fallen Order is EA.
And if you look at already Disney-licensed games, there are loads of them, and they make loads of money.
I agree with you, but then they sell their mark, just like Donald Trump sells his mark. Like, why would they want to front? Because while games make a lot of money, they cost a fortune to build as well.
They don't.
I think Disney had enough money that they're not concerned about that.
I agree with you, but why wouldn't they just they've got the brand behind their properties. Why wouldn't they just sell the mark and sell the intellectual property and license it?
If I had to guess, I would say there are a whole bunch of people at Disney who look at games and go, but we could do better.
Ego, I'm creative control, and exclusivity would be my three-pronged approach there.
I don't think Disney and EA are going to be able to align on that.
You've got massive
amounts of ego on both sides.
Are you less skeptical of Microsoft Activision?
What was that, Jeremy?
Are you less skeptical on Microsoft Activision, or you just straight think neither will happen?
I can see Microsoft acquiring Activision because Microsoft have got like a whole gaming operation with Xbox. I don't think that's going to happen, though, because they may do. I think that's more likely than the other one.
It's way less interesting, though.
It's way less interesting. Yeah,
I would agree with that.
I would much rather have the Disney thing happen because that's really interesting. Microsoft by Activision, you're just like, okay, Xbox gaming is now.
You know what would be interesting? Yeah. You know what would be interesting? If Disney acquires adultfriendfinder.com.
I'm sure you're going to add that to your never-ending list of bonuses.
That seems not entirely on brand for Disney. Call me a naive observer of the market here. Okay, next prediction.
But definitely measurable, so we'll move on.
Yeah, it'll be very clear whether it's happened or not. So that's
fine. And again, announcements is okay.
Yes.
Yes. And despite the hype, there will be zero, as in no, as in not, level 5 autonomous cars on the road in 2020.
What do you define as level 5? I don't know what that means.
There's specific levels of autonomy, so actually it probably makes sense to go through what they are so there's a clear understanding. So I'll be very brief here. Level 0 is just a car.
That's driving it all. Okay.
Levels 1, what they call hands-on. Level 2 is what they call hands-off. I'll start more broadly at level 3 because it's a little more interesting and where we already are now. So eyes-off is level 3, so the driver can safely turn their attention away from driving tasks. Example, the driver can text or watch a movie, and the vehicle will handle situations that call for immediate responses, such as emergency braking, but the driver must still be prepared to intervene within some very limited time. So that's already a thing.
And that's basically, to put it in today's terms, that's basically full self-driving with Tesla.
Correct.
When it's working properly, which is it's currently in beta.
Just so I understand this, are there any level 3 autonomous cars on the road right now?
Yes.
Yes. So
the Teslas do this. Okay.
Level 4 is mind off, same as level 3, but no driver attention is ever required for safety. The driver may safely go to sleep and leave the driver's seat. But self-driving is only supported in limited spatial areas and is geofenced. So outside of those areas, the vehicle must just park itself, basically. Waymo has this now, kind of.
So you could do this fine, but you can only do it on the streets they designate because they're the ones it knows about.
Correct.
Okay.
Level 5 is basically the same, but with no geofencing.
So what people in the world think a self-driving car ought to be is level 5.
Correct.
I don't think there's going to be one of those by 2040.
Multiple companies say they're going to be there in 2020. Waymo insists they're going to be there. I don't think they'll be there in 2021.
I don't think they'll be there in 2050.
This is Clint Eastwood bathing suit level of lowballing. Okay.
No, that would be if I said something that already happened, like multiple of both of your predictions.
No. We're all fine. Don't turn your anger back on us, okay?
Wally makes unreasonable.
You both think
point.
This is a safe one. Given my first one was the antithesis of safe.
This is not going to happen this decade, this year.
I think
it happens this decade.
I really
It's not going to happen this decade.
The idea that you could just turn a murder truck loose, run by the computer, and no one has to run it, and it's just fine.
But we already do this. It's called driving.
The CEO of Waymo said this will never happen. Ever.
Level 5?
He said it can't be done. Yeah. Yeah, here it is. Waymo CEO John Krafcik, he said autonomous cars won't ever be able to drive in all conditions. He says autonomy will always have some constraints. It's really, really hard. You don't know what you know. You don't know what you don't know until you're actually in there and trying to do things. But he doesn't think it's ever going to happen.
So in all conditions, I agree. with that sentiment. But I think they will sell you level 5 as a in almost all conditions.
Right, but that's not level 5,
is it?
So
the idea there's a kind of a there's actually a level 6 somewhere, which is it does snow or whatever.
Right.
So I mean, let me slightly change it then. Do you think you will be able to purchase a level 4 car in 2020?
What was level 4 again?
We'll always be stuck at level 4 and never
level 4 is exactly what you want, but only on roads they designate.
I think that we're going to see my theory is Tesla full self-driving as an example will get you from one spot to the other. It will navigate the entire way, but you will always be required to sit in the seat and pay attention. You'll never be in a situation where you can reasonably sit there and do your email or play a video game or whatever on the way. And what we're actually going to start seeing happening is a lot of people who will start not paying attention, and there's going to be a ton of road accidents because of this. I'm actually surprised this hasn't happened more.
People are such bad drivers that I don't know it will be appreciably different than it is now.
Because I mean, we've got Tesla, right? And when it's self-driving, like on my Tesla, we just literally got the full self-driving update thing where it'll go from one destination to the other and it reads stop signs and road signs and all the rest of it. And it doesn't work well. It gets it wrong, and it's terrifying when it's changing lanes and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think people are going to
some of that
grow
is
complacent.
Becoming accustomed to it, but I suspect the other problem is the grandfather problem, right? Yes, Jeremy, I completely agree with you. Everyone is a terrible driver, and if you invented the idea of people driving today, then no one would ever, ever approve it. But it's kind of right. Grandfathered in, right?
That's fair.
So inventing saying that a self-driving car is only as good as real people who are crap at this is the truth, but doesn't matter. It's got to be measurably better. If you say we put this on the market and it will kill just as many people as actual drivers do, no one will ever approve it.
So I think their problem's even more severe than that. I think if you were to say it will kill 10% of the people humans do, people will still be freaked out about it enough to prefer that 90% saving.
Yeah. People don't like
I think you're right.
Giving up control.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Especially with driving.
Yeah.
Like psychologically, we turn into fucking animals when we're on the road. The lot of us. Like, and some people turn into real animals, right?
It's called road rage for a reason, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt that I think that that's why I think the way Tesla are doing it makes sense because, well, I'm less convinced about the full self-driving. But for example, you know, with the current version of the Tesla firmware, it'll do automatic lane correction, right? So if you drift out of your lane, it'll correct it automatically. Stuff like that makes a lot of sense because a lot of people drift out of a lane.
There's a bunch of stuff like, sort of radar guided cruise control vibe and all that sort of thing.
Right.
But
that's like blind spot detection, right?
Yes. Yeah. They're all a good idea. What I think will be interesting is, so take your level 4 example, Jeremy, where it'll do it, but on designated roads only. I think it will have achieved success where those designated roads aren't A, only in California, and B, only within 5 miles of the factory. It's like...
So I think it's more going to be only highways is what it will start as.
But then what good is...
Because they're much more predictable than... City streets are very unpredictable.
You know what? This is beside the point. The question is, do we allow this prediction? I don't think we should allow it. I think it's too lowball. There's no way... There's no way Jeremy can be wrong with this prediction.
There's just no way. I would be shocked out of the building if anyone actually put one of these level 5 autonomous cars on the road for sale to real people in the next 5 years, let alone the next one.
I think we have to disallow this. What I would suggest is whatever Jeremy's bonus prediction is, he makes that into a real prediction.
Are you prepared to make your bonus prediction into a real prediction? I appreciate the fact that you're being bullied into this bunch.
It's part of the
I'll turn that one into my bonus prediction.
All right.
Watch it happen now.
Okay.
Uber will shutter Uber Eats.
Ooh.
That's an interesting one. Why do you think that's going to happen?
So I think so for two reasons, really. One is Uber's stock is obviously not doing phenomenally well. They're going to look for cost-cutting measures where they can. I think, two, you look at the kind of delivery business as a whole is either shuttering or consolidating.
A best plateauing, yeah.
Right. So I think the confluence of those two things will cause them to evaluate it and just completely close it down.
Now, that's a good prediction because we can track it and it could happen, it couldn't happen. Like, that's,
I mean, I don't understand.
Better than the Death Star won't be invented in 2020.
I don't understand why Uber did Uber Eats in the first place. It's just,
But they keep drivers busy while they didn't have a passenger.
But right. It feels like the sort of thing where someone sat in the Uber office and went, hey, since you've got all these people driving around, why not have them deliver food at the same time? And it seems superficially like a good idea, but actually what you need is people to go, shut up, we're a car company, do one thing at a time.
I don't know whether this is just me. I'm curious to see what you guys think about this, but... Oh.
What?
Hang on, fucking thing did it again.
There's nothing wrong with
you. Can you hear
that?
Me still?
No, I can hear you fine.
It keeps changing the... Anyway, I'll fix that. If you hear this in the show, listeners... I didn't fix it.
Edit this out, you lazy snot. You have literally one job.
I'm having some audio problems today. Okay. So what's interesting to me is, for me personally, I would never use Uber Eats, but I've used DoorDash quite a bit. And I don't know why, because they're basically the same thing. But to me, when I think of Uber Eats, I think of... I don't mind getting in an Uber. I use Uber all the time. But I don't want a cheeseburger to be sat on the back seat. And then I eat it. But with Uber Eats, for some reason, like psychologically, I see it differently. Is that just me or is that...
Have you skipped the dish, Seamless, Deliveroo? I've never used Uber Eats.
Right.
I mean, I never thought of it until now.
I'm obviously not going to use Uber Eats because it's got the word Uber in it. But right, and the whole damn company should just die in a fire, as I'm magnificently on record repeatedly. So, but, I mean, Deliveroo seem okay. My big problem with them is I see their theory about we'll pick up stuff from real restaurants so you don't just get pizza delivered, right? But actually, almost all the time when it arrives, it's just a bit rubbish.
You know? No, it isn't.
Well, in my experience,
DoorDash is great.
I don't think we've got DoorDash here. We've got Deliveroo. It's the same concept.
The key thing is that certain food doesn't travel well, right?
Yeah. Well, this is, I think, the thing. Yeah.
You know, and there's only so much they can do about it, and generally that it's expensive. In many cases. But anyway. All right. So, Jeremy, you're going to use your bonus, your Uber Shows Uber Eats, as your actual prediction.
It despite your egregious, egregious predictions in years past.
Okay.
I'll agree to be held to a higher bar. It's fine.
And we're going to... you're going to...
Oh, Garcia seizes the high ground.
And you're going to move your other one about machines becoming fully sentient to your bonus.
I will say these are probably the most testable predictions as a group we've had in the history of Bad Voltage.
I know.
I would agree.
Which fills me with dread.
I'm almost scared there'll be very little bollocking next show because they're all either yes or no.
Well, I think we're just going to go, didn't happen, didn't happen, didn't happen, didn't happen. No points, end of show.
Yeah, so. We've become the bureaucrats we criticize all the time.
Oh, man. I have one more prediction.
Oh.
Which is about March the 6th this year.
Oh. Go on. What is your prediction?
I predict that we're doing Bad Voltage Live at scale again. Hooray!
We are. It's going to be a great time. So, go to the Southern California Linux conference, which is in unsurprisingly, Southern California, in Pasadena specifically. We're going to be doing a live show. It's going to be a lot of fun. Anyone who's not seen Bad Voltage Live, go and have a look on YouTube. You can see what it looks like. And all three of us will be there. So
we will.
Hopefully someone won't be getting shot out of a cannon while we're trying to open the doors, not allowing people to cross the road.
That
was weird.
That was weird.
Which
weird
is a thing that actually happened.
That was a strange year, that one.
But yeah, we'll get the website updated. I'm sure there'll be a discount code, there usually is, that we'll put on there as well.
Yep. But you should go to Scale anyway, because it costs hardly anything and it's amazing.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun. Great content, great speakers, and us. So, awesome. Now, before we wrap up as well, we always want to hear your predictions. Well, first of all, what do you think about ours? Do you think we're going to be right or wrong?
Yeah, I mean, we've had some on the forum already, so it'd be cool to hear some more.
We have, yep.
It would.
So those of you who haven't yet predicted what's going to happen in 2020, go along to community.badvoltage.org and tell us what you think.
Exactly. All right, I think we're done.
Excellent. Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to 2020.